paper. It is incredible. And so you can imagine when you, on any given day, the hundreds and sometimes thousands of applications that we receive, each one of those has to be scanned in. And again, people, when they apply for OHP, they have to reapply every 6 months. So there is a constant flow of paper throughout our system. And what we're trying to do is look at some other ways. It's really a production shop, if you will. And so we're engaging the private sector and other state agencies and looking at ways that, in fact, we can get rid of the paper, scan it in, get rid of it, and also looking at the possibility of where's the best place for that to happen. Unfortunately, the people who are doing this function right now are probably the lowest paid people in the department. There's a lot of turnover. We're using a lot of Jobs Plus people. It's, you know, not the sexiest job to be sitting there scanning all day. So we are looking at other opportunities and ways that we can get that to function. The other area that has been mentioned quite a bit is facilities. And we do have a single facilities focus now, so that is coordinated within the Department in Administrative Services. And we do have a standardized way of looking at facilities. Again, here we are taking our direction from the field. They need to tell us what they need in community human services. But, you know, some of the things that I've talked about where people get really psyched about and interested in programs, what they really care about is the size of their office cube and, more importantly, how big the office cube is next to them and then how far away their parking space is, right? We've all been there. We know how it goes. So it gets to be a little bit sensitive at times. And some of the decisions that you think were just easy to make, people get very invested in it. And I think they get invested in it because they think if this is something they can control. You know, if I can't control anything, can I control my office space? So lots of people have lots of opinions about space. We are standardizing it. We have developed principles with the field, Community Human Services, around the configuration of offices, the fact there are not going to be private offices, and how we're coordinating reception areas. And so what we're looking at is how we can standardize that from building to building, but obviously it's hard because not all the buildings were built to those specifications. As you heard earlier, we are taking, rather than just continuing to build new structures, we're looking at the structures that we have, the leasing arrangements we have, and moving people between those so that you have the integration by moving the individuals rather than continually to build buildings. Our leasing agent is the Department of Administrative Services, and we work hand in hand with them for all of these sites. We use the standard hot sheet bid process. Our leases, you know, range, you know, from several years to probably several decades in some of them because we've extended them. And what we're looking at is where we can, you know, we don't have a lot of money, extra money, that we to remodel these facilities. And so we are trying to make the best with the dollars we can, and it's really up to the field to prioritize to us what they want done in those offices. So they know the amount of money that we have in the budget, and they can look at what they need done. It's very trying. It's very difficult. The other issue that we're having, and these are things that you don't think about at first, but one of them is phone systems. When you have different offices, different funding sources, you have different phone systems. And now we're combining staff in the building, and now you've got three different phone systems or four different phone systems in the building, so someone can't call in without having to be transferred four different times.
Cindy, I'm going to ask you to do something special for me because I need to go leadership to get ready for e-board briefly, but I had asked someone to come special today to talk to me, and that's Colleen. And if you will indulge me, and I know she has to go to some negotiations, so if I could have Colleen to come up and talk and give her presentation, and then I'm going to recess and then bring everybody back, and I'll recess for just 30 minutes.
Okay, great. We always give over to the union.
We're going to do this fast.
Madam Chair, thank you. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner, representing ASME and the MRDD component of mental health. I'll do this quickly because I want to introduce our special guest here today. The only comment I would have to say is that I followed MRDD since we closed Fairview, and I'm looking back to an analogy that I like to apply, and basically it's similar to Measure 5 in that we've robbed Peter to pay Paul. Some of the current legislative, well, at least several legislators are looking at robbing Peter to pay Paul on the MRDD side, take from our wonderful state op group homes and put them into the private. I would say that would cause us the same kind of turnover rates and the same kind of problems in one of the nation's models, and I believe that would be a mistake. At that, I'd like to turn this over to a person who's been at this business over 35 years, Colleen Savage, from our staff who works in the MRDD field.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Colleen Savage. I work for AFSCME. I come to you today because I believe the reorganization of DHS has gone very well for the minimal impact that it has had on us. Most of the impact has had to do with SEIU, and so we have been kept apprised of what's going on, but it has had no effect until recently. And then, because we are involved in the DD service arena, we find out that there is discussion of moving some of those DD service folks out of the current facility and into the DHS building downtown. That is just a major problem for us, in that to go downtown, you have to get a parking permit. You have to, or pay for parking, or you may not even get a parking place. You have to get a permit to go inside the building, and that's not consumer friendly when you're looking at private community staff, being county, private providers. You're looking at other state workers that are not part of the DHS building who would have to get a permit to go in, and then usually you're looking at unions and citizens. So just an example of that, we have a payroll person who assists over 700 people who is currently housed on the OSH campus. We have access to her. That is not a problem. For the program I represent, there's 33 timekeepers. They have informed her that she will be moved downtown in June. That's not consumer friendly for us. We, as state employees, are consumers also. So the issue of movement, I truly would ask that the division pay a little, I know they pay attention to the worker, but they need to listen to what is the easiest, most economic way to do business. As for DD services in itself, I do want you to know that they have regionalized. There are several players on what they call the regional council, and this group of people make decisions, so there is collaboration now and coordination between the counties and the states and the providers. The state, on the funding, does set a contract standard, and I've listed what the standard is. So all negotiations with the private providers are based on this standard, and it's on page 2. The reason I put that in there was because of the current discussion over the state ops and how much the state-operated community program and how much they cost, and that we should take from the state-op program to enhance programs in private sector. In looking at the dollars, we have found that the dollars don't always list exactly what a program gets for the individual they service. So when you're looking at how much it costs to run the state op, which is all inclusive, I mean, the state op does their own bulk, their own transportation, their own medical, their own behavior consulting, everything is in that dollar that you see. We need to be able to look at that on the private sector side and make sure we're comparing that. In addition, what I've given you is today's rules. DHS is currently working on modifying the funding and service rules, so I don't know what they'll look like next month or whenever they come out. I do want to put in a plug for the state-operated community program. I have attached in the back a copy of a report done by just a segment. If you want the full thing, I have it. A consultant from private sector came in to review the medical portion of the state-op program, and to quote her, this was an exemplary program. So we need to keep those standards up. I just also, well, because of timing, I'll just go straight to crisis beds. There are only 5 crisis beds in the state of Oregon that are state-operated, and those are at Eastern Oregon Training Center. Our private sector folks need more than 5. The state-operated program had 15 that were going to come online, but because of the budget, that didn't happen. So now when private sector has crisis, they go to the foster care system, which is a totally different funding system that's very expensive. So the whole system truly needs to be looked at. People are, I couldn't even tell you there was a bad provider. Everyone is trying so very hard, but there's no money. And what we're saying is don't take from the state operated to give to the other programs, and we will be more than happy to help you or help anybody try to find a solution to this. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Ralph. Maybe
you.
Senator Crowe might have a question.
No.
I'm going to recess while I go for a brief meeting, and I will be right back.
Thank you.
In 30 minutes.